OTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping life for a better tomorrow.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Stephen Knight, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show. Radio. Want to thank you all for tuning in as always. We have a great show lined up. We'll be discussing the latest in entertainment news, sports, and movie reviews. Now, Ms. Parker and Janera are both out tonight, but Aaron's going to join in and help me out. Now, if you're like me, your day may consist of logging on Facebook or Twitter from your computer or your phone, updating your friends and followers on what's going on in your world. Many people do it. I know I'm not the only one. Do that every day. Well, tonight we welcome a panel of guests to help us take a look on how social media, social networking has influenced our society, the good and the bad. As always, we want you to be part of the discussion, so call us your questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6543. Again, that's 718-664-6543. And you can also join us in chat. There's a link on our Facebook page, or if you're on the line listening to us, you can scroll down. There's the chat room. But,
Aaron,
how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great, Stephen. I'm doing great, man. How's it going?
Pretty good. I want to thank you for jumping in. Ms. Parker let me know today she actually went to Miami for a Super Bowl party, and she will be getting back till later than she thought. So she couldn't be with us, and Ms. Ferguson had house guests, I believe. So, but I think maybe you and she can hold it down today.
Absolutely. Fellas night out. That's right.
How was your weekend?
Man, awesome, man. That game yesterday, man. Whew, I'm still thinking about that game.
I'm so happy.
So what?
You want to jump into that now? Sports?
Yeah, might as well, pretty much, man. Super Bowl 46 was awesome. Giants,
yeah,
of course, won. I'm happy. I am not a Patriots fan at all. I actually still believe because the Patriots are like that. They're like almost like perfect. You know, it's like Tom Brady. It's like the golden boy. He's like that golden child. You know, he cannot do anything wrong. Everybody loves him. Media loves him. You know, he's just perfect. And I don't want to knock on Tom Brady because he is a really, really great quarterback. I just think that sometimes the media overhypes people and puts players and teams on a pedestal. And that's not fair to the team. So, but I just feel like him. You know, I'm sorry. I just feel like the Patriots, the Yankees, the Lakers. You know, these teams, the Dallas Cowboys. You know, it's like these teams that we hype and overhype. I just don't like that. I just don't like that. Any team can win on any given Sunday, man. And
Right.
Always going to root for the underdog, always. And Eli Manning is an excellent quarterback. Coach Coughlin is an excellent coach. The Giants defense is excellent. The Giants offense is excellent. The Giants as a whole is an excellent Super Bowl winning best football team in the world. franchise. Love them. You know,
yeah,
big
yeah.
up Giants. Good job.
I was watching the pre-show, the pre-game. You know, they're doing the whole pre-show,
yeah.
And yeah, they were
yeah.
boosting your boy out.
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it really makes me mad, man. It really makes me mad. It's like, wow, really? Really?
Right.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So I don't like that. I just don't like that. So I'm actually happy that the Giants won. I actually wish that the Ravens would have been in it, Ravens Giants, but it didn't work out that way. I still feel that the Ravens won that game. I feel like Lee Evans caught
Let it go.
The football.
Let it go.
Let it go.
They didn't win.
Let
it go. It's
over. So anyway, yeah, it's water under the bridge now. It's over. It's a wrap. So yeah, season's done. Now I can move on to college basketball. That's what I'm going to talk about more next week, is college basketball. Yeah.
All right, well, Chike, what's going on with you?
Hello, brothers. What's going on? How are you?
Now, we hold it down tonight.
Chike.
The gentlemen are holding it down tonight.
Testosterone night. That's what I'm talking about. Testosterone in the house.
In the house.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was pretty good. No one invited me to a Super Bowl party. No one loved me this weekend. So I actually sat by myself and made myself a nice little snack and watched the Super Bowl dolo. I was so by myself. It was a good night. My team won. I'm for the Giants. Some people call them New York, but I still call them New Jersey.
Right, yeah.
It was a good night.
Okay.
Got the chance to check out a few movies. The first one was Chronicle. It was excellent, by the way. I'm into the whole science fiction. I think that there's probably going to be more to this story because they kind of left it open. The special effects were off the hook. I've never seen some of the special effects that they've done for this movie because a part of the special effects is flying, and they tackle flying a little bit differently than I've seen in other movies. A little interesting. So I highly recommend that. The second movie I'm proud to say that I got a chance to screen ahead of time, which is Safe House with Denzel Washington and Chris Evans. Denzel, you just can't go wrong. He's just one of those actors that he's just not going to be in a bad movie. And I will say this without giving away too much. If you liked him in Training Day, you will love him in Safe House.
He won his Oscar for that one, right? Training Day?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's something about when he plays a character with a dark edge to him. He does that perfectly. I don't want to give away too much, so that's all I'm going to say about that. Highly recommend it. Give it a thumbs up. The next film is Big Miracle, which is a family movie. Thing 1 and Thing 2 absolutely loved it. It's the movie about the whales being caught under the ice, and they're trying to get them to open water.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's a really, really good family movie. It's something that everyone in the family can go to and enjoy. Highly recommend it. And the last movie is The Vow, which is a chick flick. You know, Valentine's Day is coming up. Guys, if you want to earn extra points, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up. If your girl enjoyed the movie The Notebook, which was another chick flick, excellent movie to go to. Kind of on the same premise. So that's all I have. I wanted to end my segment on a little somber note. I don't want to sadden anyone, but I just want people to call attention to being aware of other people. Steven, you know that I've been working on an artistic project, right? And I had a casting call. So I had people come out for the casting call. And a very, very bright young woman, very talented, came out. She was the only one in the bunch that came out extremely professional. She brought her portfolio. She took dynamic pictures. She is supermodel ready, you know, from the door. I learned over this last week that her and her boyfriend are both dead. and she died from his hand, and then he killed himself. I these people are in my social circle. I see them, you know, the events that I go to, the events that I get hired to host, they're there. So I see them quite frequently. And I was really looking forward to working with both of them because both of them signed up for the project. And days after I see them or talk to them, they're both dead. So I just want to call attention to people, you know, take time out to love somebody. You know, stop fighting, yeah. Stop arguing, put the guns away, just make it all peace.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just want to give a shout-out to Vanessa Banks and her family and Nuke McCray and his family. I know you guys are going through something. Just, you know, stay in prayer and stay strong.
Absolutely, absolutely. And our condolences go to them and their families, those that were slain. Wow. Makes you really,
yeah.
You have to really think, you know, like you said, think about people, you know, respect people and, you know, saying hi doesn't cost. You know, if you have friends that you haven't talked to in a while, reach out. You know, they could be gone.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anything else, CK, before you start off?
Just want to keep people aware that next week I'll be hosting the Men's Cook-Off Challenge, which is in Philadelphia at the Ukrainian Gymnasium that starts, I believe, 7 o'clock p.m.
Okay.
in Philadelphia. So if you want to come out, taste some good food, witness a throwdown culinary competition, come on out. Ladies, if you're looking for a brother with culinary skills, come on out and get the picking. I want to say something to Aaron. I'll be in D.C. this weekend, brother. You and I need to link up and cause some trouble.
Okay.
Just saying.
Absolutely. Okay. No problem.
All right.
Uh-oh. Watch out, D.C.
Absolutely.
All right, Aaron. I mean, all right, TK. Thanks again. Have a good night.
All right, TK.
All right.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Yo, Steve. I wanted to throw out a question to our listeners really quick. Listeners, if you're on Facebook or Twitter, could you answer this question for me? Who do you feel, other than Eli Manning, who do you feel should have won the Super Bowl MVP? Other than Eli Manning, you know, just answer that for me. Just tell me. You can tweet me at RonCosby1, that's RONCOSBY, number one, or on Facebook at A. Ron Cosby. I would love to know what you all think.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, well, Ms. Park is not here, so A. Ron, let's tackle this entertainment news, okay?
Okay.
First of all, I know Ms. Park reported a couple weeks ago that Brandy and Monica teams up again to do another song. You know, they had the huge hit, The Boy's Mine, back in the late 90s. Well,
oh, yeah, 1998, summer
right.
of 98, yeah.
Well, they have a new song now called It Belongs to Me. Yeah, it All Belongs to Me. And I have
really?
Wow. They recorded in Miami a couple years ago, but they debuted it on V103 out here in Atlanta, so I can't wait to hear it. Also, I know you watched the Super Bowl last night. You saw the David Beckham underwear ad. I know the women going crazy about that. Well, you know, CNN.
Saw the who? Hold on. Saw the what ad?
David Beckham. He did a Calvin Klein, some kind of underwear ad.
I passed.
So,
okay. Next.
But, the controversy is that CNN's Roland Martin, I don't know if you know him, he tweeted, if a dude at your Super Bowl party is hyped about David Beckham's H&M underwear and smacked a you-know-what out of him, and then he put Super Bowl. So now the gay community is attacking him. They're after him and wanting apologies and whatnot. So
can you repeat what the tweet was again? Because I actually follow Roland
okay.
on Twitter. Yeah, what is
he said?
I can actually look at the tweet now.
He said, if a dude at your Super Bowl party is hyped about David Beckham's H&M underwear and smacked the shit out of him.
You know what? I don't I think people are getting a little overly sensitive over that.
Yeah, exactly. That was my bad.
Yeah. I think, you know, I don't think Roland was being anti-gay, anti-homosexual, or if that's right way of saying. Anyway, so you know, I don't think that he was being disrespectful to the gay community at all. I think he was just saying that it's just not a cool ad. I mean, cause it just seems like, I don't know. I didn't get that from what you just told me. I don't see anything wrong with it. Now if he would have said, you know, if like you all, you know, think that that's a cool ad, then you're quote unquote the F word, F-A, whatever, or you're sissy or gay, then that's different.
Right,
but he just said that I'll smack you, whatever. Okay, it probably was maybe not a tasteful ad. You know, think about it. A lot of men watch the Super Bowl, and there's probably plenty of gay men that did not like that ad. You know, so I don't think that people should try to say that he was being anti-gay. I just think that people need to just breathe, chill out, calm down, relax. It was just. An ad, and Roland Martin is allowed to give his opinion on whatever he wants to. And he was not being disrespectful. The end.
All right.
Close. All right.
Did you see Madonna's halftime performance?
I saw bits of it. And from what I saw of it, I actually thought it was pretty good. I've heard mixed comments. I've heard some people like this. Some people thought that she needs to sit down and start sewing clothes and just retire. So I don't know. I thought it was cool.
I actually saw it, and you know, they've been hyping it up for weeks about it. And supposedly she did 10-12 hour rehearsals to perform. But I have to say, for 53 years old, she threw down. You know, she did lip sync, which a lot of people do lip sync during, you know, because the stadium's so loud, the acoustics, and you know, but
right.
You know, she not known for her voice anyway. But she gave a great show. I was very impressed. I was very impressed with the show. There's controversy with her performance because she did a great, solid performance. And, you know, she had Nicki Minaj and Mia on the stage. And Mia flicked off the audience, which, you know, you would have thought Janet Jackson showed her nipple again. You know, media is going crazy about that.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. She actually flipped off people. Okay, you know. You know, I just think that there are so many more important things going on in the country and around the world. I have a cousin that's overseas in Afghanistan fighting for, you know, everybody's freedom and stuff, and freedom to actually be able to flip off a bird. It's all part of the act, people. It's entertainment. Chill out. If you don't like it, you don't like it, but you ain't got to, you know, go all off and, you know.
I think the controversy is because, you know, families watch the show. You know, watch the Super Bowl and young kids watching it. I don't know. But that's the controversy.
I'm sorry. Like a mother or a father's never flipped off before. Kids have seen that before, you know. So we might start getting letters or something, so I'm not even going to comment on it no more. I just think people need to get a life. Get a life, people. Get a life.
Now, I don't know if you've heard Drake's song, Marvin's Room. You know, every singer has covered it. Chris Brown, Sammy, Lil Wayne, Nicki Minaj, all covered this song he has called Marvin's Room. And in the beginning of the song, you can hear a girl on the he tells like a voicemail message or something like that. Her name is Erica Lee, and apparently she's Drake's ex-girlfriend that he used on the song. He used an actual message. Well, now she wants her money. She wants her money from, because he used her voice, and she wants her money for him using her on this song. What do you think?
You know what? Okay. What was it? Her voice?
It was her voice, yeah.
Okay, and it's on his record?
Just
on
his album, yeah.
And she did not get she signed off saying that he could use her voice?
Nope.
well, then I think she needs to get some money, you know. You know, again, I'm not a lawyer yet. I'm actually, you know, going to law school, just so people know, you know. So I am a future lawyer, but it seems to me something's got to get, like, he might need to pay her something, because if her voice is on there and it's part of the song and it's making money, yeah, she needs to be compensated. If that's her, then she needs to be compensated for it. Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
so maybe
apparently she's gone in and copy, you know, put in her copyright for her. She's saying something like, "Are you drunk right now?" And, you know, because apparently Marvin was about a guy calling his ex girlfriend drunk, you know, trying to get.
I just hope that she's not trying to get no big payday now. I mean, girl, you just said a couple of words. I mean, honestly, he could have got some chick at the club to do it for probably nothing, and you know, probably paid her like $1,000 and she would have did it. I mean, you know, seriously, I mean, he could have probably had it done on like an animated voice. So I hope that she's not trying to, you know, come into this and trying to get her a little 15 minutes and trying to get a show off of this, you know, being like a housewife or a basketball wife or whatever they're doing nowadays. I don't know. Hockey wives, tennis wives, whatever.
Right.
But,
you
know, you know what I'm saying? Bowling wives, you know, badminton wives. But anyway, I just hope that, you know, she doesn't think that she's going to get some big-time pay out of this. Get you a couple of dollars, pay off your lawyer, chill, and Drake will move on.
Okay.
He'll do bigger and better. Yeah.
Well, I think Ms. Parker reported last week that Simon, you know, he fired Paula Abdul. The host of X Factor, you know. The show did
been
gone. Ratings, but it didn't get as high ratings as they thought, so they kind of, you know, the network and Simon, they start from scratch. Well, they've been throwing around some names that they want to fill those positions. And, you know, they said Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, which I doubt that would ever happen. Even Nick said that he doubt Mariah would ever do it because he kind of sees it as a step down in a career. If you're a big star, and he sees it as that. And also they reportedly, and I don't know if it's true or not, reportedly offered Beyonce $100 million to be a guest on the show. But what they're saying is by them throwing out those big names, all that's doing is bringing hype and speculation, so it brings attention to the show. But I doubt none of those three are going to be on the show. That's a weak commitment.
My take on it is this, man. I think that the show's weak. Whenever I first saw it, you know, last season, whatever, I actually was like, okay, this might work. But then as the season was going on, I'm like, you know what, Steven, man, TV is saturated with these kind of shows. We got The Voice, X Factor, American Idol, America's Got Talent. I mean, you go on and on and on and on. It's just too many of them, man. It's just, it's crazy. It's just crazy, man. It is. I'm like, dude. I didn't like how the little rapper boy, Pluto Astro, is that his name? Astro? The little 14-year-old little rapper boy. First of all, Astro, man, first of all, Astro's talented. I will give the brother that. He is a talented young man. I hope that, he gets signed and he's able to, you know, make a lot of records and things of that nature. But I didn't like his attitude, and I thought that, to me, it kind of showed what, like, a lot of the little 14 and 15-year-old kids are now. You know, they're just kind of disrespectful to not only themselves but to adults. I mean, Astro was very disrespectful to some of the judges and everything. But anyway, with that being said, I didn't really care for the show. I just thought it was just all over the place. And the host, I didn't care for him. The whole British thing, I'm like, okay, is that what we have to do now? There has to be some host. He can't be American. He has to be British. Yes, I said it.
But well, you know, the show originated over in the UK. That's how American Idol came to be. Because Simon had
okay,
the show
but it's in America now. We in America. It's here. We here. So, you know what I'm saying? Not for real. Yeah, I love my country. I'm a proud American. And yeah, I said it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Rihanna, you know, they've been saying she's spiraling out of control. You know, they had a picture of her supposedly smoking weed and all that stuff. Well, they had pictures of her recently saying that she was in the street somewhere out, stumbling, you know, drunk.
She was on the streets doing what?
Stumbling drunk. Stumbling around drunk on the street. Who knows? I hope that she is okay. But you know, she's continuing to break records musically. Like
that's what I'm saying. She's gonna go down in history as one of the best musical acts ever, man. This girl, musically, she is just hot, man. She just gives you number one hit after number one hit after number one hit. Let her have fun. I mean, geez, she's an adult. She is a grown woman, you know.
Let her have fun. Now, that's enough of entertainment, but what I want to do before we go to commercial break, I want to let everyone know that TheHeatMag.com, the Heat magazine, TheHeatMag.com featured a interview that I did with them a couple weeks ago, and it's entitled Stephen Knight Talks About ATL's Hottest and the Nightlife Project. ATL Hottest was the awards that I was nominated for late last year. But it's actually a really good interview. I will say that they used creative liberty on it. But it was a good interview. And you will check that out. TheHeatMag.com. And you can find out more about them and see my interview, as well as some of the new promotional pictures that I recently took. So check that out. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll get back and discuss just how social media and networking has influenced our society, the good and the bad. We'll be right back.
Procom Voices is your complete resource for finding professional voiceover talent for all types of projects, radio and TV, flash, corporate video narrations, and more. Here's what sets Procom apart. We give you fast access to professional voice talent from all across the country. Actors and actresses who are handpicked by Procom and experienced in bringing copy to life. And you direct your voiceover session live, by phone, as it's happening, so you can be sure of the results. Start by searching our online talent demos broken down into convenient categories. Or call our casting experts for helpful advice in finding the perfect voice. Once you've chosen one or more voice talents, simply submit your script and book your talent online. Or just call us. Toll free. At session time, you'll be connected to Procom by phone patch. Listening in on your session, you'll have the ability to interact with the voice talent you've cast and direct them yourself. Try multiple styles, hear playback, and request editing from your Procom producer to craft the perfect read. We can even connect directly to your favorite local studio via ISDN. Once you're satisfied with your recording, your files are immediately uploaded to our secure FTP site in the format you request. And you're sent a link by email. Procom Voices. Top quality voiceovers. Simple, fast, and affordable. Contact us today to get started.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. I'm your host, Stephen Knight. We have A-Rod filling in for Ms. Parker, who's on her way back to Atlanta. Thanks again, A-Rod, for taking time out your busy schedule. I know you're a busy man.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
You said, I remember you said on our reunion show a couple weeks ago that you enjoy filling in.
I do, man. I'm telling you. Yo, man, make me like the third co-host, man. Come on. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Come on. Hey, y'all, people, vote for me, man. Let Steven know. Yo, make Ron the third co-host, man, for real.
I will say you do a great job. That's why I keep asking. Because, you know, if you didn't do a good job after the first time, I would never ask you to do it again. But you do a great job.
Right, right. Well, thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, let's go on to our discussion. I think all of our guests are here. Part of Wikipedia, social networking is defined as an online service, platform, or site that focuses on building and reflecting social networks, especially social relations. people, for example, share interests and or activity. A social network service consists of representation of each user, often referred to as a profile, his and her social links, and a variety of additional services. Most social network services are web-based and provide means for users to interact over the Internet, such as email or SMS. Now, we all know the popular ones, Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, and even Google+, just to name a few. In recent years, online dating has become one of the most effective ways to meet a partner. There are good and there are bad things when it comes to social networking. It seems like most people from all races, age groups, and backgrounds are on social networking sites. As a matter of fact, I was discovered to do this show on Facebook. Well, tonight I've asked a panel of guests to come on the show to talk to us about just how social networking, social media has impacted our society, looking at both the good and the bad. I'm going to start off by introducing each guest, and then we'll start the discussion. Now, our first guest, she is a screenplay writer, a blogger, and she says she is a social site lover. T.I.E. Space. Did I say your name correctly?
Absolutely. You did a great job.
Thank you. I got that. I was practicing it. the next guest is someone I went to school with back in June State. But he is president of AK Companies, executive director of HBCU Endowment Foundation. He's also the treasurer of the Center of HBCU Media Advocacy. Please help me welcome William Foster.
Good evening, everyone.
How are you doing?
Good evening. Good evening.
Hello.
And this next young lady, she, has encountered a lot of celebrities through her internship at Q100. I'm out here in Atlanta. And styling celebrities with shades while she was working at Sunglass Hut. Please tell me welcome. Marcy. What's up, Marcy?
Hello, how you doing?
Good, how you doing? Welcome all three of you to the show. And Aaron, I want you to join the discussion too, because I know that you are on social. You try to get people to follow you every day, so on Twitter. So.
Yes. Yes, please.
Anyway,
Thank you.
Let me start the discussion off, and I'm going to ask you, William. First of all, let's go by each person. Which social sites are you on, or ones you can tell us on the radio? Let's start with you, William.
Who are we starting with?
What? Yeah, you, William.
Oh, okay. I am on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, I believe those are the three primary ones. I use Pandora. I don't know how much of a social media. I know they're trying to have a social media aspect of it, but those are the four ones I'm on.
All right. Tiani, what about you?
I am as well. Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, LinkedIn. I think those are the four. Those are the four.
Okay.
Facebook and Twitter are my two main ones, so.
Okay.
I totally forget about LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah, LinkedIn. Everyone's LinkedIn. Martin?
Well, I am really big on Facebook, so I just stick to Facebook.
Okay. All right. So, and Aaron, if you want to go.
Yes, sir.
Aaron?
Yes, sir.
Which social sites are you on?
Oh, man. Facebook and Twitter. Facebook all the time. Twitter, I'm like slowly but like surely getting the hang of it. I actually have 98 followers, so come on, people, make it at least 100. I need two more to make it even 100. Yeah, two more people to follow me.
So what are some of the positive ways that social networking has helped you personally, William, would you say?
Personally, I can't honestly say I can think of, I won't say that. About maybe 4 years ago, personally, it helped me reconnect with my daughter.
Okay.
I hadn't had contact with her for about 4 or 5 years, and her mother found me on MySpace.
Wow.
And we were able to reconnect and reestablish our relationship, so... That's probably the only positive that I have personally.
Okay. What about professionally?
professionally, it's been a huge help. The way I actually ended up on the board for the Center for Media Advocacy was through Twitter. There were a lot of discussions about HBCUs. There's the way the followers and things are set up. You can search by certain subjects. And I was following the HBCU Digest, which is a magazine that tracks HBCUs. And me and the founder got to talking, and he found out my background and asked me to serve on the board for the center he was founding. So in that way, it's been a huge help. Some of the board members for the HBCU Endowment Foundation have come via relationships that I've been able to maintain through Facebook, Twitter, and just getting the message out has been huge, even for my business, because we just launched a magazine. So you have to have a presence in social media today.
Yeah, yeah. See, I think now you and I, we met on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Would you agree with William that says that, you know, from his perspective, that it's benefiting more from a business standpoint than it has personally?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I had a lot of friends who were on, you know, the social sites before I became even aware of the social sites. So I was, you know, I was like, I'm not joining. And when I started to join, that's when really my business focus and things that I wanted to do actually started to form in my head. And so I took it directly from a personal thing and took it straight to business. I thought of, you know, connecting with people who were filmmakers and writers, or, you know, it didn't matter what genre or what type of writing. I started, you know, I went that way instead of going the personal route first. And in the end, I met some great people and, you know, a great company who's working with me on my film right now. So it has a huge impact on my business,
yeah.
My business persona and portfolio. So I think as far as business, if you're doing it right, it can be huge for you. It can make, you know, some great moves for you.
Absolutely. Now, Marcy, you know, work with celebrities, you know, for years. Now, a lot of people, they're saying now that with Twitter being as huge as it is, that a lot of celebrities don't need the publicists as much anymore, because if they want to, you know, comment on a rumor or they want to put something out, they can do it via Twitter, Facebook, those kind of things. But they've also said that it has kind of, you know, it can be negative, because they're like people, and if they're speaking on emotion, they put it out there. Once it's out there, it's out there. What is your take on celebrities using those social networking sites?
You know, I actually think it's great. I think it's great that they have their own voice instead of always having to go through a publicist. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's a great way to be more personal with their fan base. You know,
yeah.
For me to be able to know what, you know, some of my most favorite celebrities happen to be doing at that time is really great. And
mm-hmm.
It gives me the opportunity to get to know them on a more of a personal level, like I said earlier, than just through a publicist. So it just brings them more life to their fan base.
Okay. Aaron, what do you think about that?
Man, I actually love Twitter. I'm not a celebrity yet. I don't plan to be in like the next couple of years, but I actually think I still think there's a need for a publicist, but I also feel that Twitter kind of, in a way, it kind of takes away from what the publicist does. Like, if like all I have to do is just type in, okay, I'm going to be at this event, you know, on such and such date, bam, and like two million people can instantly see that, then you kind of don't need your publicist to kind of, you know, work for you. You can kind of do it yourself. But if you're old school, then you definitely would need your publicist. So I kind of see it, you know, both ways.
Okay. Anybody can take this next question. What are some of the negative ways you think that social media and networking has impacted our society?
Well, I'd actually like to harp on what A-Rod just said. One of the dangers that I've seen via Twitter is the way you can retweet someone. There's a retweet option in Twitter, and it can be manipulated. So if you wanted to say that, say, if Stephen, you had a Twitter and I knew your handle and I put RT in front of it, I could basically say you said something even if you didn't actually say it. And I think that's been one of the dangers I've seen, and I've seen it happen to a few people. So it's, you know, you have to kind of be careful. I do think there is a huge danger there, especially if you have enough people. We saw the trouble that kind of Ashton Kutcher got in. You know, things like that are, I think, why that buffer sometimes really is needed with publicists.
And
also, I know that, you know, people are crazy a lot anyway. Like, a lot of people, they, you know, they hide behind their profiles and saying whatever they want recklessly to people. And I know there was an example, Carrie Hilson made some comment a while back, R&B singer Carrie Hilson, and people directly were just going at her. Carrie Hilson, the singer.
Who's she?
Wow.
People,
exactly. Who is she? She's not relevant. Next. I'm playing.
Anyway, my point is that they're able to, if you're a celebrity, would you want people to be able to just access you, you know what I'm saying, with a click of a mouse? What would you think, Ty?
Tiati,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a celebrity. I'm a bit lost. I'm not really lost. I don't think I would mind them having direct contact to me, personally, because you know it frustrates me because when I get on Twitter, you know, you try to tweet celebrities and you know you never get a tweet back. It can be it's very tedious for them, you know. But I think I would want to have that personal contact with my family because those are the people who make me famous, you know.
Absolutely, that's right.
You know, they make me who I am. Without them, I wouldn't be who I am, you know, not as opposed to the famous person, Tiati. You know, I'll still be me, but the fame and the fortune and whatever else comes along with that wouldn't be without, you know, my fans. So I would always want to have that personal contact with them. That's just me.
But the only thing that I think about is because, you know, it happens to me and I'm not famous at all. But I have people always sending me, and it does help, obviously, you know, sending you different opportunities via Facebook or Twitter, you know, inboxing you. But if you're someone of huge status, you're going to have anybody trying to get you, you know, instead of going to your contact person who would handle those kind of things, they're trying to hit you up directly of all these opportunities. So I guess, you know, it's give or take. Marcy, what are some of the other negatives that you think these sites have done to our society?
Well, you know, it is a great way to reconnect and stay connected with some of the people that are in your life presently. But, you know, the sad thing is it brings a lot of drama. And the reason for it is because, you know, you can speak what's on your mind by just one posting. Anytime you get upset at the person you're in a relationship with or a family member or a friend, you know, a lot of people just go straight to Facebook or Twitter and they put it all on blast. And not only, you know, are you offending in making the person that you're dealing with at the time upset, but then you also have other friends or family members that know one another that also, you know, join in on that. Not only that, but it's presenting a lot of bullying within the school systems where a lot of these kids can just go on the Facebook or, you know, Twitter or whatnot and just post anything about anybody, and the next thing you know, they're going to school and they have a lot of drama, you have the fights. So that's just some of the negative stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I would like to actually piggyback off of what she just said. You know, back in the day, you know, kids were like get bullied and picked on at school, and it was left at school. Once you went home, you were home. You were, you know, you were safe. You were bully free. Now it's 24/7 bullying. You go home. It's on Twitter. It's on Facebook. It's, you know, text messaging.
it's like it never ends. And that's why a lot of these kids that we see now are killing themselves at
mm-hmm.
such young ages because they cannot get rid of it. It's around them
mm-hmm.
everywhere. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And not only
yeah.
that, but I would like to mention that, you know, as adults, you know, we would like to think that we're more responsible than the younger people. You have a lot of
right.
young girls and men, you know, who are growing up, and, you know, you can just take any picture and put it on Facebook or
oh,
on
yeah.
Twitter or whatnot. And so, you know, a lot of these young people are making a really bad decision about what it is that they're putting on these media networks. And
yeah.
so what happens
yeah.
is, you know, today there was actually a question on the internet, you know, do the pictures that we delete off of Facebook, are they really deleted? So,
yeah.
you know, they can keep anything, and people are seeing what you're putting on there, so that you have to be
oh,
really
yeah.
careful with that.
Oh, yeah, copy and paste and copy and save
right.
and all that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, once
and
it's
right.
open on Facebook, it's out there. It is done.
And,
it's open.
And the irony to that, it, going back to what you said, there was actually a case in Europe where a guy sued Facebook to see what all information they had on him.
Yeah.
And it was a really interesting lawsuit, and eventually Facebook had to relent. And I think it took over 6 months for them to send him a disc with all the data they had collected on
wow.
him. And every picture, every post, every anything
yeah.
he typed was
yep.
on that disc. And yep. I agree with you. I don't think most of our kids realize I can right click and save every picture you
mm-hmm.
put up. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
But I think that's kind of to some degree where we're failing as an older generation because we kind of, I almost say we're being naive to the dangers of Facebook and social media in general up until this point. There hasn't really been, we kind of grew up knowing you were supposed to use a filter. You know, every
right.
situation didn't call for every comment. And
right.
now we see kids, like you say, every feeling, everything they have goes on to the social media, and they have no filters. And nobody's
right.
saying, well, young lady, young man, that's not really appropriate right now. Like, I have to.
That's right.
The reason I've even friended my niece and my daughter on Facebook, because goodness knows I don't want to see half the stuff they put up. But I have to monitor everything they put up. You know, it's like, okay, that has to come down. That's okay. And then we have to have a conversation about why it's not okay, because half the time they don't understand. So,
I'll get it right.
Yeah.
What's
monitor my sister.
Do you?
I'm sorry. Well,
no, but, you know, I think that, you know, like you said, you monitor your sister. I think that, like, for me, I'm at a, you know, I don't live in the same state as my siblings. And so I'm able to, like, if I don't talk to them every day, I can go on Facebook and kind of see what's going on. But
mm-hmm.
I think that people do put too much on there. I was reading I saw something on the news where this woman, she had befriended someone she went to high school with. She didn't want to be that close, but, you know, she remembered it from high school. And she was she put on Facebook that she was out of town at the beach and having a great time. And the person broke in her house while she was gone and took her stuff, you know.
Wow.
So I think we do have to watch some of the things we say. Also, I read an article. It asks, what happens to your profile once you pass away? And what it says is your profile is never deleted. It
mm-hmm.
becomes, no one can request you as a friend, things like that, but your friends that are already on your page, they will still be able to go to your page, but it kind of becomes
mm-hmm.
a little inactive. But it never goes away. That's kind of scary. It's kind of what you think about, you know. I don't know. I don't know if I want to go to someone who's passed away's page.
Well, now the irony is, now I did have a friend that passed away, and there's a group of us. It is interesting. It becomes that place where it's almost like a shrine, a memorial that you go visit because the pictures are still there, those memories are still there. So, it can be a good thing when you're trying to deal with the grief of a loss. I do question. I know some people have made inquiries into what you can do in terms of your will to actually have social media deleted. Like, I know Twitter deletes if someone passes away. Heavy D's Twitter account was deleted after he passed away. So,
Now, Stephen, if I may add about Facebook, you know, another negative side that I can think of is, you know, a lot of people say Facebook doesn't ruin relationships, the individuals do. But I would like to add that, you know, Facebook definitely does help. I mean, we're talking about somewhere where you can say you're in a relationship with somebody, and where the only person that sees that post is the individual that you're with. You can customize it as to where it's just only you who sees that, or you and the relative, where, you know, you can hide so many things on Facebook by customizing everything on there. So that has caused a lot of infidelities, and, you know, a lot of deceit. So that's definitely negative when it plays into the relationships as well.
Do you think that I thought it was interesting. I know a couple who are dating, and they weren't friends with each other on Facebook. Would you want to be friends with your couple, or with the person you're dating on Facebook?
Well, I just learned my lesson. I learned my lesson.
Not.
No.
No.
Absolutely. So you wouldn't want to?
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
So
in fact, if we started dating, I would unfriend them.
Really?
Yes.
That's surprising to me. Well, why would you rather not be friends with somebody
you're
dating on Facebook?
Well, here's one thing, because, you know, a lot of things that you can see can perceive a certain way to yourself. So say, for example, the person I'm dating with, I'm their friends on Facebook, and, you know, they've had female friends, and, you know, they carry on in the normal way. But, you know, I just happen to see something that I may read the wrong way or take it the wrong way, it's going to cause issues.
Yeah,
so it just causes a lot of unnecessary drama, because you can perceive and take things how you want it. And not only that, but, you know, some people really don't respect relationships, and know, you know, they could just throw on more drama and make the situation worse. Or no.
I did see an interesting post on Facebook. Someone said a lot of people, the conversation on their wall is a lot different than what's going on in their inbox.
Please. Absolutely. The little Facebook game that you play, you know, inbox me this number, you know, and I rate you from 1 to 10. Like those little games, like they, all that stuff, it's a bit much. And so no boyfriend of mine is going to be on my friend on Facebook.
I just think the less you have of people in your relationship, I mean, and if you took social media out of it, I mean, we always say, you know, don't put your family and your friends in your relationship. But, you know, and that's when you're away from social media. So when you present that relationship to social media, I mean, it's almost like when celebrity couples are always under the spotlight. That's what Facebook has become. It has become the ongoing reality TV show for a lot of people. And drama sales.
That's
right.
So what advice to a 20-year-old joining Facebook, they've probably been on there for years, joining Facebook, what advice would you give them about being on Facebook, Twitter, or any other kind of social media?
Not to put anything on Facebook that you wouldn't want your mom to see.
Okay. Anyone else?
Don't post something that you can't take back. Once it's out there, it's out there, and that's it.
Yeah.
I would say be very mindful that employers like me now search Facebook profile.
Yeah.
Part of my company is in real estate, and we do background checks on your Facebook page before we'll even rent to you. We search every single social. It is amazing the drama or trouble you will save yourself, because, for instance, we had one property we were going to rent out, and it was clear the property was on an old block with elderly people. And you go to this person's Facebook page, and there's keg after keg after keg after keg in every picture. And you're saying to yourself, what kind of neighbor am I if I rent to this person, and what are the people around them going to think? There's no way I can rent to you. So, you know, jobs, if I'm going to hire you, I'm going to do a Facebook check on you. I'm going to do a Twitter check on you. So, you know, I would say if you're going to be on Twitter, be as anonymous as you can, depending on what you're trying to do. LinkedIn, I think my biggest fuss right now is kids and young adults are not using it for the opportunities it could create. It's a beautiful networking tool if you use it as such.
I found my job on there. A lot of our listeners know that I was laid off a couple weeks before Christmas, and actually found my job that I started getting near on LinkedIn. Let's go to dating briefly, dating sites. Now, a lot of people find love on dating sites. There are a bunch of them out there now. What is your take on online dating?
It's great as long as you're safe with it.
You said what now?
What did you say, Mark? I said it's great as long as you're safe with it and careful with that.
Okay.
Extremely careful. Because you never know who's sitting on the other side of the computer.
That's right.
That's true.
I'm a big fan of FaceTime and Skype. I'm a huge fan of that, so I'm always looking to see, you know, I'm not dating online, but because I'm in a relationship. But at the same time, if I were to be on a dating site, I would want to have that face-to-face connection, you know, using Skype and things like that to kind of see who it is that I'm dealing with. Because I don't want to show up somewhere and, you know, somebody completely different, or God forbid something crazy or dangerous happens. So I don't even like it, to tell you the truth. It's just too much you will have to go through to make sure you're doing the right thing and make sure they're the right person. And, you know, because everything can sound good, you know, with a few kicks, you know, clicks of the keys. And then, you know, once it becomes personal and once it becomes real, you know, everything becomes a lot different.
See, I haven't done online dating, but I used to think that way. But honestly, it's no different than meeting somebody at a club or, you know, or anywhere that you go out. I mean, they're going to put their best face forward, and then it's not till you, you know, get to know the person more and more than you start finding out who they really are. I think it's, you know, they almost say what one in every five relationships is now starting on online dating. So, you know, I would give it an opportunity. You know, my biggest thing is just be really careful on there because, there are a lot of people on there for the right reason, but there are also a lot of people on there to take advantage of it. So you have to definitely be careful with that.
Yeah, I would say to that point, and I'm not going to tell myself too much, but Stephen can attest to this, you can meet crazy anywhere.
That's right.
And so, and certainly, I know I have met crazy in numbers of places, but I think for someone like me with the schedule I have, the one thing that online dating does allow me, if you're patient enough to deal with it, is it allows you to filter a lot more. Because when I meet someone in person, I don't get to see who you are or even who you're presenting yourself to be. At least if I'm doing the search, I can say, well, I'm looking for someone. If I want to be very vain, I'm gonna be like, oh, I want her to be 5'10" with brown eyes and, you know, and an afro. And so you're allowed to filter a little easier. But I do agree, you have to be very safe, but I think you have to be very patient. The one time I think the one relationship I've had from an online situation, we talked in correspondence for over a year before I even was like, okay, look, I'm willing to date you, you know, beyond that. So.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I think it is also don't like going to clubs, don't like putting themselves out there, you know, but they feel more comfortable and safe behind a computer. And
do you guys think there's a stigma in the African-American community about online dating?
You know what, I'm Latin, I'm not African-American, but I think that's funny because, you know, I do date African-American men, and I was talking to that about that to some of my girlfriends, and I was like, okay, well, I know that I prefer to date African-American men, but the ones that are on there just don't come across as the kind that I like to date. So I wonder about that. That's a really good question.
So what do you say? A-Rod, what do you say?
Oh, man. I can kind of see a stigma a little bit. I think, okay, a lot of times with African-Americans, I think that we can be kind of old school sometimes. And, you know, like I was always told, you know, meet your wife at church. Go to church. That's where you're going to meet her, is at church, you know. And actually, my grandmother thinks of the internet as this weird, foreign, terrorist
thing that is just evil. It's sick. You know, people are going to go to hell. And, you know, she thinks the worst of it. She does not do internet at all. She thinks that it's weird. So I can kind of see where people would actually kind of maybe steer clear of the whole internet dating thing. And then also people can actually, you know, show you a picture and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, she looks good, this and that. And that picture, it could be 5 years old. This girl could have 3 kids by now. She probably, you know, 195 pounds, but on the picture that she showed you, she's 102 pounds. So I actually think that internet dating is actually cool, especially if you're actually talking on the camera thing, because you get to actually see each other and talk. But just the picture, kind of typing picture thing, nah, I have to talk to you, you know, voice to voice, face to face, camera to camera. And then that can just set up from there. Then you can like, okay, why don't we meet up for like a coffee or something, and then go from there. I think it's just a stepping stone, and it can be actually good.
All right.
Steven, can I ask a question?
Sure, go ahead.
Do you all think, as African-American men, that maybe, you know, when it comes to online dating, more so in the earlier years of online dating versus now, it came across as maybe individuals that needed help in the dating department, you know, that didn't really have the courage to go out there and you know, for men and step to a woman and talk to her, so they would go to the internet. Do you think as African-American men, maybe that could be one of the reasons, is that, you know, I really don't need any help. I'm capable of going out there and stepping up to a woman and talking to a woman versus being behind a computer? Do you think that, you know, it could have like a negative stigma?
I can see
that.
Okay. I think some of it's pride, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think
some of it has a lot to do with pride. They don't want to, you know, man, where you meet her at? Oh, I met her on, you know, on this dating site. You went to a dating site? You know, and then this, mm-hmm. the jab and then the ribbing of me. So he's like, you know, I don't want to do
right.
that. I think that has a lot to do with it because, like, what's your name, babe? What's her name? Was it Marcus?
Marcella.
Marcella.
Okay, I'm sorry, dear. Like she said, you know, it's kind of when you go up there, I mean, granted, I've never dated, but I've been to the sites, you know, and it's not, it's very slim pickings up there, you know, it's very hard to find, you know, basic men. I'm sitting there, I was scratching my head like, is this really what I'm looking at? But I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, these guys, they're afraid of what people are going to say to them if they
mm-hmm.
do meet somebody, you know, on these sites. That's my opinion of it. I think they're just, you know, with the quote unquote adult bullying and, you know, things like that. I think that's the reason that it's not a good variety of men on the dating sites right now. Unless they're older. I mean, I see a lot of older people, you know, 40 and plus that, you know, that's going there. But between the ages of 25 to 35, I don't see a lot.
Do you think it's more socially acceptable for someone to say, well, I met her on Facebook as opposed to I met her on Match.com?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because the assumption
right.
is you already knew that person via Facebook.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But
yeah,
we were friends on Facebook, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we just got married.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, listen, y'all, I want to thank you all for coming on the show tonight and helping us tackle, just look at some of the positive and negatives that social media and networking has done. I know we have a few things to promote. Does anyone want to, since I have you all on here, William, do you want to promote something that you have?
Actually, if you guys just visit HBCUendowment.org, that's the only thing I'm really promoting right now.
Okay. And
I'm promoting myself.
Yourself, okay. tell them
right? So what now?
Can you talk about the seminar that you're working on?
Yes, I'm working on a full-length feature film right now called Troubled. I'm working with Post Multimedia Group on that. It's in pre-production right now, so we're scouting out investors. So if any of y'all want to invest, we'll gladly take your money. that will be out. Hopefully, we're trying to get it to theaters this year. We're not really sure how things are going to go, but we're working on a good micro-budget. So we're trying to get, you know, a good few people to come and has to be a part of it. I don't want to say any names, you know, and we haven't contacted all of them yet, so I'm going to keep the names right. But we got a big A-lister that we're pushing hard for, so that's that. Oh, follow me on Twitter, A-Rain Films. That's A-R-A-Y-N-E Films. I'll follow y'all back.
All right, everyone. Thanks again. Have a great night, and thanks for being on the show tonight.
Absolutely.
All right. And we're
going to
take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with
Stephen's playlist. XXL is the number one selling music magazine worldwide, covering amongst the widespread from breaking news, new music, and all times biggest artists. If you're not tuned in with XXL, you should grab your copy immediately at your nearest Walmart or other place of business. XXL is the most trusted name in the world of hip-hop. Visit XXLMag.com for news updates, hottest new hip-hop bangers, and the most popular blog site in hip-hop society today. Are you interested in becoming a part of XXL? Contact XXLMag at 212-807-7100 or contact XXL through email at XXL@harris-pub.com. Thank you for your time, and I hope you enjoy XXL Magazine. This commercial was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic Speedy Records.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. We have A-Ron here filling in for Ms. Parker, who's hopefully back in Atlanta now. A-Ron, thanks again for taking the time, you know, to busy schedule.
Oh, man, thank you so much. Thank you, man. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, now it's time to go on to Stephen's playlist. As you know, we receive music from people all over the country wanting to be featured during the segment. Each week, we select artists to play on our playlist. Tonight, our playlist features songs of both major and independent artists, including a new song by Chris Brown, new John Legend, with his brother, Von Anthony, who will be on the show in a couple weeks, and many more. If you're interested in being featured on Stephen's playlist, please email me at thestephennightshow@gmail.com. Attach one or two songs, your bio, and one or two promotional pics. All songs must be edited for radio, meaning no cursing, and we definitely look forward to hearing from you. Now, I heard that we have a little technical difficulty, so we're going to wait before we go on to the first song. Actually, we're ready now. Okay, so the first song is a new song by Chris Brown entitled Turn the Music. Check it out and enjoy Stephen's playlist.
Turn up the music, can I hear it till the speakers blow? Turn up the music, fill your cup and drink. mention. Even when I'm rich, it's still repping Celsius. Skinny mini's cool, but I prefer a million. Money over benefits. Don't do go digger chicks. Don't do no Ally McMillan. I like bigger lips. Do you see my back, right hand up, chucking the dude? I'm not the one who tried to sweat her. I thought I wouldn't try to get her.
Knowing me and you got that mental telepathy, meet me up at the spot, I'll be sending over the chauffeur. Rich nigga, bread stay popping up like a toaster. Nobody come close to me and you together. Step under my umbrella, we'll make it through any weather. Except when I make it storm, sex in the greatest form, then hibernate under my body. And yep, I keep it warm and in a chinchilla. You know I beat it up like the Thriller in Manila. Flying my private jet to villas in Anguilla. Just throw you on the grill, that's 'cause 7 days a week you're my five-course
baby
meal for real.
On my mind, you know,
a lot.
lies to be like, your crazy, strange.
Even wind swept yellow stickies of my mind. Molten emotional front line.
Like, yeah.
Careless, I'm transfixed.
I was always like far away from everybody.
You like
my thoughts, you know, kind of distant.
Oh,
Well, I hope you enjoyed Steve's playlist. We play songs from people, artists, independent majors. So if you have any music you want us to play, send it to the Steve and I Show at gmail.com. Aaron, you still on?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay. I just want to thank you again for hosting, co-hosting today as Ms. Parker was traveling. We definitely missed her and Ms. Ferguson tonight, so thanks again for that. I know, like I said, you're a busy man, so I really appreciate you spending the 90 minutes with us tonight.
Anytime, man. Anytime, brother.
And for all you listening at home, we appreciate you each week. We have some great shows coming up. I'm very excited about it. As I said, John Legend's brother, his younger brother, has been singing background for him for years. He actually has a solo career. One of the songs we played was actually him and his brother and John Legend singing, and he'll be on the show in a couple weeks. We have some other great discussion shows coming up and some people that we really are close to booking, so definitely be tuning in for us. And you have a great week, and until next week, God bless you.